What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Debbie Royale. Today, we are mocking the mock. I wrote a first-round mock draft for football guys, and Randy's going to go through and kind of pick it apart, see what he would change. We'll talk about the mock, and we'll get right into it, so stay tuned through the intro. All right, guys. So as I said, I wrote my mock draft 1.0 over at Football Guys. So head to footballguys.com, check it out. It's also going to be in the description here if you want to read my reasoning, because I'm not going to go through every single pick because of the structure of this episode here. So we're just going to get right into it. I had a big trade here at first overall. I had the Bears moving down, building around Justin Fields, and they moved all the way down to 13 with the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders came up, took Caleb Williams. Washington stayed put and took Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. At three, we have the New England Patriots with a shock pick of Joe Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Four, Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver out of Ohio State, who declared yesterday, as you're watching this, if you're watching this on the day it comes out. And then at five, I had the Chargers moving down and the Falcons coming up for their quarterback of the future and Jaden Daniels out of LSU. Randy, are there any picks here that you would change? What do you think of this top five?
Yeah, so we're quick. We came up with the idea of just trying to get like three ones I would change to make it fun to see how Christian would kind of change it. Not necessarily the whole draft, but just how it would kind of maneuver in that kind of window. So the change I did, and then I'll go into all the five and selection total. But the change I did for funsies, because the Patriots now do not have the same coach and GM anymore with Bill Belichick out, they should be able to scout wide receivers now. So I think I'm going to switch number three, Joe Alt, to Marvin Harrison Jr., the best player in the draft class the Patriots get, and figure out the quarterback and left tackle of the future later.
That's fair. And so I guess the workaround for that, you can make an argument that Malik Nabers would then go for. To the Cardinals, but I think you can also make the argument that Joe Alt would just slot into number four. And as I wrote this the first time, I did have those picks flipped, and then I started looking, and you know, Trent Brown is 55 years old or something like that. It doesn't seem like he'll be back next year. It made sense to go tackle. That one did upset Patriots fans, and I understand why. Marvin Harrison Jr., pretty close to generational. And I definitely understand the Patriots going that route if they aren't taking a quarterback. I'm curious, did you consider giving them Jaden Daniels at three when you were trying to switch?
I did, but I liked the difference of the Falcons trading up with not a huge haul and getting a quarterback that they actually like for the future. And I did like it just in these five picks, that was my favorite. And then you, after a couple of our mock draft shows, of me saying, man, the Raiders trading up all this to get Jaden Daniels seems like not my favorite move. And you're like, all right, take this then. They'll trade up more and get the best quarterback. And it's like, all right, well, at that point, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
At least that's fair. So that's, I think it was a good take and a fun take. Because then for the Raiders to trade up to five or four or three and give up basically what this haul was, in all these mocks that we've been doing for Jaden Daniels, I thought was a bit of an overpay. So to trade up more to get all the way up to one from 13, now that they're all the way down there, it made so much more sense in that regard, especially if you're keeping your coaching staff and then maneuvering around. It does make more sense than going for the third quarterback and trading your whole future for it. That's why I was struggling. But the way the Falcons did it made complete sense.
Yeah. So the first pick was the hardest to write because I still am very much so 50-50 on what the Bears are going to do. And I honestly think the Bears are 50-50 after watching Ryan Poles' entire press conference after I wrote this mock. I think that if Caleb Williams checks some boxes, I think he'll probably be a Bear. But I think the premise still exists where the Raiders, they might have to give up the 13th pick for him because I think that the market for Fields is going to be pretty high. But I think that one way or another, I think the Raiders might be the team to get the other quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams or Justin Fields. So,
yeah, and just as a reader on the outside, we didn't talk about your mock before you wrote it or anything. I thought of a fun, you know, obviously the Bears struggling to make this decision. They're fielding calls for Fields, you know, for the rest of this draft process. Raiders being one of the top ones on there, looking for their quarterback of the future. This is a fun little switch of the scenario where they were willing to trade 44 and they weren't willing to budge from a fourth on top of that or something. And the Bears said, you know what? We're not getting enough for Fields. He's worth more. We can build around once we get this haul because the Falcons are offering this King's ransom for it. Raiders, can you match it with a little bit more on top of it because you're farther down? This is what we get for Caleb Williams. It's a good, that's a realistic scenario of what probably will be happening in the Bears front office for the next year.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I don't think the Raiders will be the only team doing that, but it's a fun one because I think the Raiders are in position to get aggressive and do something like this. So I had a little bit of fun with it. I know it didn't, you know, sit well with all fans of every fan base, as you know, not a single mock ever in the world has ever satisfied every fan base, but the
neither
top five
any draft. So
that's true. But you picked the right pick because Patriots fans are very upset with me for the Joe Wall pick. Let's go to 6 through 10 here. Number 6, New York Giants took Malik Nabers, the wide receiver. 7, the Titans stayed put and took Olu Fashanu. At 8, after the trade down, the Chargers took J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. At 9, the Bears got a wide receiver for Justin Fields and Roma Dunze, the wide receiver out of Washington. And then at 10, the New York Jets took Talisa Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Randy, were there any picks in this grouping that you were hoping to change?
No, I think I expect the run of 3 tackles here in this grouping, and then the 2 receivers makes complete sense to me as well. If the Bears wanted to go a different route in terms of defensively or an offensive lineman, I think that's a little bit of a situation, but it seems like they're happy with at least their tackles going forward. It seems like the Giants, especially with who drafted Evan Neal, still being in the building, are going to be happy to continue this process of trying to make that work and looking for more of an interior help to that line. Titans desperately need a tackle. Chargers desperately need a right tackle. So getting the guy that you absolutely love, the draft community is, I think, starting to come around on. They definitely have him as more of a mid-round first at this point. But at the same breath, Fuaga right below him there, people would probably switch those two. But either way, I think it's great landing spots for all 5 guys.
Yeah, I will say the Chargers fans are also very unhappy with this pick because they want either a wide receiver or Brock Bowers. And I kind of understand, but, you know, it depends on the Chargers pick is very pretty much impossible to do at this point because of how many cuts they have to make this entire situation work. This could be a defensive pick, and it probably should be a defensive pick, but I went with the notion that we're going to keep Justin Herbert upright so that he doesn't take more sacks than Andrew Luck, as he has through his first X amount of starts. I don't remember. I don't have my article pulled up either.
Yeah, he's getting destroyed back there. And all the candidates that are being discussed to take over the Chargers' job sounds like coaches that will be making sure Herbert stays upright or prioritizing adding another weapon after using draft capital last year on it, or defensively, because there's at least building blocks there that you can make the most out of with the right coaching.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go to the next grouping, 11 through 15. At 11, the Vikings took Laiatu, the edge out of UCLA. 12, the Broncos took Terrion Arnold, first corner off the board out of Alabama. 13, the second Bears pick is Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama. 14, the Saints took Jared Verse, the edge out of Florida State. And then 15, the Colts took Kool-Aid McKinstry, the other Alabama corner. Randy, is there any one of these picks that you're hoping to change?
No, I kind of wanted to, but when you scatter shot 3 edges and 2 corners, it kind of makes it difficult to do anything else, especially with the run of receivers and tackles earlier and quarterbacks. Really limits what you're doing here, unless you're trying to do the Broncos taking a quarterback here or the Saints doing the same thing or even the Falcons. But to me, all 3 of those teams should be looking to try and trade back into the first or trying to get one in the second round to make up for that and get some pivotal defensive players. All these picks make complete sense to me. And it was like, do I just switch Arnold for Dejean and then right. Arnold goes to 15, or like it was so minimal that I was like, eh, not worth it.
This corner class is interesting because I think it's very much so flavor. If you go and read the actual mock, I talk about how Arnold probably he's not my corner one, but I can see a team falling in love with a mixture of ball skills and shadow ability. You know, shut down. He can shut down one side, probably not as well as Kool-Aid, but I also think that there's more juice to his ball skills. And so when you have Pat Surtain over on one side in Denver, it makes sense to go get that aggressive corner on the other side. So a lot of this is like how teams are building. Same thing with like Dallas Turner versus Jared Verse. The Bears kind of have a guy that's super powerful and can collapse a pocket. Turner can be that, but he's got a little more bend. He's a little younger, things like that. So a lot of it's flavor. Go read the mock. Let's move on to the next group. 16 through 20. 16, the Seahawks took Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois. 17, the Jaguars took Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. 18, the Bengals took Byron Murphy, the second, the defensive tackle out of Texas. 19, Kansas City took, they traded up to take Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, to be the Travis Kelce successor. We now know that Travis Kelce is not retiring, but also he has lost a bit of a step, which was kind of the justification there. And then 20, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took Nate Wiggins, the corner out of Clemson. I know there's things you're changing here, Andy.
Yeah, quickly though, I'll say the Jaguars get another receiving weapon here in the first, makes you assume that they didn't re-sign Calvin Ridley. So that means they've now spent a first and a third round pick on one receiver. And that does hurt my soul a bit, just to try and fix that offense a bit. And then obviously getting another close range target that can do everything for the Chiefs makes a ton of sense. Teams are completely taking away Mahomes' ability to make deep plays. So getting someone that can actually help you in the short immediate and won't drop the ball every single time, like everyone else on the team not named Travis Kelce, is a good thing. And Rashee Rice down the stretch. Unfortunately for them, the one I would change is the Bengals at 18 taking Brock Bowers. They have a myriad three tight ends after letting Hayden Hurst go, who was productive. Three tight ends that haven't really done anything except Hudson down the stretch. I don't think it's worth it. Get the best player on the board, and I think that's Brock Bowers there. Taking the secondary D tackle after the one that they really would have wanted went out the board at 16 didn't feel like the right pick to me.
Yeah, totally fair. Bengals fans were confused as to how I would let the Chiefs get Brock Bowers when he was right there for them. And my justification was simply, I think this defense needs more juice. I do think they'll be able to retain T. Higgins. And I think wide receiver is still very much so on the board for the Bengals. So Brock Bowers was definitely in consideration because I think that you can kind of mesh those two needs together. Brock Bowers can be a force in the run game as well. He's a good blocker. And I think they need something like that. But getting some pass rushing juice out of the defensive tackle position felt like a good move at the time. I totally get it, though. Where I would go is I wouldn't have the Chiefs trade up at that point, which who did I have them trade
Packers
back with? The Packers. So then I would have had the Packers probably take Nate Wiggins, and then the Bucks probably take corner four off the board here. So
Cooper.
Yeah, or they could have gone – that's where maybe they reach on Chop Robinson. I say reach. I think we're going to start to get there, but I really don't see that as a huge need.
For them especially, they've taken a lot of shots there. It makes more sense. I think they should add another one, but here it makes more sense to get a bigger need for them, which they did. The Bucks have re-signed their two starting corners who have both depreciated in value since then. Getting a guy that can truly win on the outside every rep is a smart play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned it. Jamel Dean is really only their only good corner at this moment. Carlton Davis has kind of regressed quite a bit. So it could just be a down year. But he's got a hefty cap hit that they could get out of if they
chose. Yeah, and then quickly, the Bengals obviously need defensive help. They are a bunch of – they're a unit as a defense. They don't – I'd say Hendrickson is their star, and they're not built on stars. They're built on team playing in a scheme and playing well within it with underrated players that stepped up. They looked like that at the beginning, didn't happen the rest of the season. getting the guy to truly stuff the interior as Murphy is a great idea. However, with Bowers being the pick switch, I think that does say that they probably bring back Higgins at least the tag and maybe trade him later down the road if they have to, but probably means Tyler Boyd's gone. So Bowers makes up that difference with a young upside instead.
Yeah,
was for sure. My thought process of the change at least.
Yeah, totally get it. 100%. All right, 21 through 25 here. Arizona has their second pick in the first round. They took Cooper DeJean, corner out of Iowa. The Rams got their quarterback of the future with J.J. McCarthy. I'll read them off, and then I'll talk about that pick. Mm-hmm. 23, the Pittsburgh Steelers took Marius Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. 24, the Dolphins took Graham Barton, the offensive guard out of Duke. And then at 25, the Eagles took a center, Jackson Powers Johnson, kid out of Oregon, that I think is a very, very good center prospect. Back to the J.J. McCarthy pick. So the Rams haven't picked in the first round very often over the last few years. And so it's worth noting that they get aggressive with their first round picks. They might not have another chance to go get a future asset like this. And we're seeing the ramifications, or, you know, the reward of doing that in Green Bay and getting your guy to sit behind. And J.J. McCarthy has some skills and some traits that pair up nicely with Matthew Stafford. He's also a perfect McVay scheme quarterback. So that's why I went that direction. A lot of people were upset that I had McCarthy over Penix, but I think McCarthy will go over Penix if he declares. And, you know, we could find out that he's going back to school before this even airs. So we'll see about that one.
True.
Any changes in this one?
So no changes, just questions. First off, the Mims to Steelers is mm-hmm. going to be such a fun pairing. It's going to be so hard not to do because it's Georgia teammates that are both monsters of humans, way too big to really be this athletic. Pairing up again for the Steelers to be their bookends of the future, hilarious, and it should be great for them. So firstly, for the Cardinals, just with that switch before, what would you think they would do here? Because we talked about either they'd reach, not necessarily reach, but they'd take Neighbors, or they'd probably take Joe Alt there. At four, if they took Joe Alt there, do you think they're reaching for, again, reach is a term I don't really want to use here, but are they taking like Franklin, Leggett, anyone here instead to make up for that loss? Or do you still think they go defense and try and attack receiver next round?
I think Leggett is certainly on their board because Jonathan Gannon just worked with AJ Brown. And so Leggett has some skill sets that pair up well or mirror that of AJ Brown. That said, I do think, so if we go with both of your changes and Brian Thomas Jr. is still on the board, that's the easy pick. And so I think that's where I would go. That said, they definitely need a corner. And like that is, I would argue, their biggest need, bigger than offensive tackle, probably bigger than wide receiver. It's up there, but I think Michael Wilson had some good play. I don't know if Hollywood Brown's going to be on the team. Their beat reporters seem to think that he won't be, but
to me, that one's definitely 50-50, but even if he does, they still need another. They really need a guy. Wilson stepped up maybe like one or two games out of the year, but getting a starting left tackle for them should be the biggest concern, in my opinion, besides getting the best player in the draft if Marvin Harrison Jr.'s there. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Yeah. But Joe Alt would be phenomenal for it, or Olu, in my opinion, just because Paris has been a little bit up and down on the right side, kind of moving around a bit. But I think he'll get fully into it next year after he gets some more reps, and getting a guy on the left side to help Kyler stay in that pocket a bit more to be able to make these deep field throws that he needs is a good thing. But getting a guy like Leggett there to actually be a little bit more of a scheme touches and have a lot of those weapons on the team could be a really fun offense.
Yeah. I'm interested in it. I think it's definitely in play. And then do you have any other questions, or can I just explain why I would take a center in the first round?
So my question, I understand why you're taking a center there. Obviously the theory of Jason Kelce retiring, or worst case, another potential guard for them that would be the center of the future. My question with that is they basically have drafted two centers that are playing guard right now. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so my theory is that both of those guys stay at guard, and then you don't have to worry about guard, and you just refill the center. I think Landon Dickerson is definitely staying at guard, just with how he's played. He's played so well. What's the other kid's name? Why can't I think of it?
Boy, I was hoping you would forget as I completely blanked.
Yeah, I wrote it in my article, but he's also been playing well on the other side. So I think if you have a chance to get a center as impactful as I think JPJ can be, that's the direction I would go. But I also understand that they make defensive picks, and there were some edge rushers here. There were some corners here. I do think they need corner. They're playing two undrafted free agents right now that are playing okay, but it's certainly not a team that should ignore that position in this draft. I just went a different direction. So.
It's fair. I just wanted to see what you were thinking there.
Yeah, that's fair. As I was writing it, I was like, this is crazy. They have three centers just starting.
Literally, but knowing them, it'll work. So
exactly. So, all right, last grouping here. 26, Packers took Quinyon Mitchell, corner out of Toledo. 27, the Texans took Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. 28, the Lions took Kamari Lassiter, the corner out of Georgia. 29, the Bills got Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. 30, the Cowboys took Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. 31, the 49ers took Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. And then 32, the Ravens. This happens every year. They get one of the premier players that everyone thinks is going in a certain range, and then they fall to the Ravens. Chop Robinson, the edge out of Penn State. Randy, I know you've got a change at least because, well, we have one more change, and this is the last group.
Well, as I had the Patriots taking Marvin Harrison at 3 and ignoring the quarterback of the future, I had them trade up here 34 and a third round pick next year, and for the fun of it, a fifth round pick swap this year to the 49ers at 31. Opposite conference coaches, just who the coaches are in theory can it be for the Patriots? I think the two coaches would respect each other. I think they'd get the deal done. Minimal deal to get the fifth year option for Michael Penix Jr. at quarterback of the future for the Patriots to pair with Marvin Harrison. We know Penix has to have elite QB talent, so he needs Marvin Harrison and hopefully Pop Douglas to thrive at the next level.
Yeah, I respect it. I don't know if Michael Penix is going to be a first round pick. I've maintained that, like, the medicals scare me. The film, there's some things to really like, and there's some things to be super weary of. They aren't Malik Willis level because Michael Penix has made full field reads. He's thrown across the middle. You know, There are things that he does really well, but he's also doing it at 24 years old. I think he'll be 24 or 25 come draft night. So worth noting, but also the Patriots are in a rough position at the quarterback position. So they have to do something. I totally get moving back in, and that would be five quarterbacks in the first round. That'd be a fun one.
Yeah, which there's going to be one left out, and in this one it's Bo Nix, which is fine because I do think he needs to go into a system that he can kind of like sit and plug and play behind the line and just be at least to begin his career, because that's what he's been doing at Oregon, and he can use his legs to his advantage. I don't know best fit out of those. It could just be the Giants to take one of the future, as well as I mean,
it might be a better version of Daniel Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Vikings, same thing. I think that's a phenomenal fit. Broncos, phenomenal fit. Seahawks, even trading up in the second round. I doubt. I mean, this feels like the Jalen Hurts bet that you made a few years ago, where there's no way Nix goes outside the top 50 for me. So someone's got to get him. And I think people are going to be waiting on him to get the right fit. I think the Patriots did the same thing in this theoretical here, but they made sure to get the fifth year for their guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll do it. So one of my favorite picks, though, is the Troy Franklin one to the Bills.
Yeah.
In describing it, we've done this before, I think, maybe on our first mock, something like that. We talked about it being an option, but getting a guy that can win vertical with Josh Allen. He can also win underneath, but like he can win vertical, and Josh Allen would love a player like Troy Franklin. So that's one of my favorite picks. And then Cowboys taking an offensive tackle. I work with a Cowboys fan I'm not talking about Kevin on this channel, but like at my full-time job. And he, when I told him this, he was pumped. So shout out the Cowboys. I think Kevin wants a wide receiver there. So
it's not a shocker. I mean, they could definitely use another option. It's become very CD heavy down the stretch to really propel them into the playoffs. I mean, he is dominating, but to get a true other option. I mean, Cooks is good. Ferguson's good. The running back situation hasn't really worked out. So to get another guy in there, a good thing. But again, it's another issue in this draft that there's so many receivers. Like, take the tackle as the position's going to be dead, at least the top end by the time you pick again. And you still should be able to get at least a reliable future option at wide receiver in the second round or third.
Yeah, or fourth or fifth. This class is crazy. Yeah.
It's insane. I love this class. I'm very glad Ibuka went back. I was feeling bad at where he was ending up on my list because I really like his talent.
I told our Patreon that I wasn't going to release this to the Twitter sphere, but I'll release it on YouTube. He was my wide receiver 12 before he went back to school, so I'm really glad he went back. I think he'll be a top 3 to 5 guy next year if I had to guess. So, all right, that'll do it for this mock draft. Let me know what you think of my mock. Let me know what you think. Let us know what you think of Randy's changes. If Randy's mock was better, it probably was, but make sure you drop a comment. Like this video if you liked it as well. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We also have a podcast, so check us out on your favorite podcast feed. But before we leave, I've been good about this, but I was bad today. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/TheDebrasRoyale. We've got a ton of good stuff happening over there. We've got some data-driven folks. Jay is out here working on his spreadsheets and stuff like that. We've got combined rankings. We've got a ton of different things going on at that Patreon. So go check that out, patreon.com/TheDebrasRoyale. Randy, anything to add before we bounce?
Well, firstly, if you haven't actually read this mock from Christian with all the explanations, it's on the Football Guys website, as well as Christian tweeted it out, and I believe the Football Guys did, and I think Jeff and the Debbie Royale. So yeah, it's out there a lot. Please go read it, every reasoning. So while you may think Christian's crazy or stupid, which I do most days, at least you can understand why he thinks that for the future. Yeah.
My favorite comment on this mock was, never write a mock again with 3 fire emojis, and I just burst out laughing and told my coworkers. I was like, this is great. I love draft season. I love it. I truly enjoy even the negative energy. It's a lot of fun. Draft season, we'll have a lot more on this channel for you. So thank you guys for watching. We will catch you guys next time.